The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Jason Jewell later in the show at about 10:35. Jason is going to Skype on in. It is that time of year where I start to look ahead to the high school playoffs and also recruiting with the letter of intent day 2 months away and all the college football fans in our great state of people that check out our platform. So I want to talk to Jason today. I also wanted a lot of space because I went to the zoo yesterday. I went to the zoo yesterday because Eric said he would go to the Cardinals game. We take turns. We don't need to send eight people to go watch a team that has one win. We've got the power of one, right? So it was fine. Went to the zoo yesterday, and the crocodile picked up the turtle in front of kids and started chomping on the turtle. I couldn't get my phone out quick enough for the video. I did get a still. It's on my Facebook page. Sometimes you're the turtle. Sometimes you're the crocodile. Sometimes it's fun to be around kids that are like, oh, turn away. You can't watch this going down. No, it's nature. Back in the day, I was a show announcer at the San Diego Wild Animal Park. It's something I did in college to make good, made good money, actually, back in the day. And you could wear shorts and scam on girls, everything you'd want for a college gig. And I'm doing the bird show, the Birds of Prey show. And they had these white pigeons that were flying around. They had this really happy music. And the pigeons would fly around. They'd fly back into the coop. Well, one day, these nice turkey vultures were hanging out in these trees. And our pigeons were flying around. All of a sudden, poof, just sliced their heads. Just when the birds would, poof. And you heard all this, ah! That's kind of what I saw yesterday at the zoo. So that was the highlight of my weekend. Because it was a great sports weekend. Let me go back here. On where everything went from Friday night, which turned into Saturday morning because I was watching baseball, one game, to last night. Opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. That means right now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most, and that is life insurance. That is looking at your financial situation, looking at college planning, 529 plans, looking at annuities, looking at where you are in the space in life. And I am that little voice that says, are you protected? Have you done enough? It makes a lot of sense to me what they do at Sagicor. In fact, it makes so much sense, I went and got my license. Yeah, I'll talk about that as the week goes on. Because I see people on all shapes, all sizes, all walks that don't look at their personal situation. Well, it can't happen to me, right? Okay, if you didn't come home tonight, is everything handled? Log on to Sagicor Now, Sagicor Now, Sagicor.com. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Eric, did you make it through the baseball game Friday? Now, let's go back on this because it was a hellacious weekend when it came to sports. There was just so much stuff. So Friday night, I'm sitting there. It's like, I don't know, 11:50, and I checked out Dodgers. Red Sox.
I watched the whole thing.
Seriously? Were
yeah,
you out?
Well, no, I was working. I got home.
You were at a game. You were at a game.
I was at two games, yeah. And I got home. I was in the West Valley, so by the time I got home, it was like 10:45. And
oh, you were early then.
No.
You were early in this game. Were they about
oh, yeah,
10?
In the game, yeah. And I saw on Twitter, like, this game's incredible. And then I remembered when I went to get an early dinner, the game was just starting
at
5:15 in the afternoon.
Right, right. There's still light
and
out
I
everywhere.
And I turned on the game, and it was nice. It was nice because I was at home, and I was working, and I had the game on the background. Usually at 11:30 at night on a Friday, there are no live sporting events on, so...
No, and so you were writing your high school stuff.
I was editing.
Editing. You were
editing.
I was technically
editing my video.
And I'm sitting there watching this game. And first of all, I'm noticing empty seats in L.A., which is nothing new, because Dodger fans are notorious for showing up late and leaving early. That's just how it works in L.A. I hear the Red Sox chants. I hear the Yankees suck chants. All the usual nonsense that goes along with the Red Sox. If you're a Red Sox fan, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know that I'm right. Last night when they clinched the whole thing, it was Yankees suck chants coming out in the eighth inning. But I guess I am so captivated with John Smoltz. Like, Tony Romo is really, really good and interesting to watch in football. John Smoltz is the same, except he's got this dry wit about him that I really like. And Romo has this upbeat, uptick voice, which is great. It's fascinating. It's football. It's boom, pow, boom. And baseball is one pitch here, one pitch there. John Smoltz, it was like just being in the – he's the smartest guy in the room without being the smartest guy in the room. Everything that he said or anticipating. Friday night, he started going right down the line. The longer this game goes, the worse it's going to be for the Red Sox. Yeah, they ended up winning the World Series, but I understood his point. And the greatness of the game, as hard as I tried to stick through it, it wasn't just being old. It's just I got going that day at 3:30 in the morning. It's my deal. I get up early. So I had to check out. And because I'm in this space of sports, that I think it was like 3:30, I woke up, like straight awake up, and grabbed my remote and pushed the button to just see if the game was still going. Like, am I really missing something? So this happened on Friday night into Saturday morning, and then I was just caught up in the World Series. I don't care what the numbers show. People in the in sports leagues get up on Monday mornings and want to pronounce how great they are based on one metric. And the metric is flawed on so many levels, but that's a class for me to teach at Arizona State. So I just don't care what your numbers show. I don't. Baseball to me is fascinating. Love to see it. And so it gets into Saturday and the ASU game is starting. And ASU looks terrific. I understand USC has injuries. I get it. They're playing a third-string quarterback. But I'm watching Eno Benjamin run right and left. And then N'Keal Harry makes a couple plays. And it's fascinating. We'll talk about it later in the show. But then that led into Saturday night, another thrilling World Series game. Except this time, I don't want to call them the non-seam heads because I'm not a seam head. Like, Jordan's a seam head. Haley's a seam head. It's fine to be a seam head. Eric, I wouldn't consider you a seam head. But Saturday night, once again, I'm back at it. I'm back watching it, and I'm just caught up in every pitch. Doesn't matter the Diamondbacks aren't in it. This is just great sport. And then, while that's going on, I turn over to watch the Suns, and God, they're awful. I mean, they're just flat. Oh, God, just dreadful. Memphis is punking them, and Memphis isn't any good. Memphis is one of those teams that you fly into Memphis, you go on Beale Street, you get some ribs, you go see some Blues, and you get out. You don't want to watch Memphis Grizzly basketball against the Suns. But I flipped over to that. And then while it's going on, I flip over to U of A, Oregon. And this is supposed to be a boat race. Like, Kevin Sumlin can't figure it out. Noel Mazzoni can't figure it out. And Khalil Tate runs out on the field. I'm like, okay, this is kind of interesting. U of A absolutely jack stomps Oregon at home. Completely, totally annihilates them.
Which is not surprising in some ways, Brad.
What are you talking about?
You know, when Oregon goes to Tucson, they don't win a lot. They don't.
Too much nightlife the night before, right?
Well, they just don't play well. They just don't play well. I remember when it was the BJ Denker.
Oh, there's a name.
Let's see. Kadeem Carey era.
Yeah.
And Oregon went down there, and they were a top 10 team, and U of A was just okay. And they got stomped by the Cats.
You weren't surprised.
Just the Pac-12 is just, I mean, Washington lost to Cal. Like, it just, there's not that
Colorado was leading
team.
Colorado was leading Oregon State 31-3 and lost in the third quarter and lost. Like, how does that happen?
It was a weekend for upsets all around the nation.
But for Herm to go out to L.A., and I don't know how much of the broadcast you watch, but it was pretty clear somebody high up at ABC said, well, we're going to make this a three-hour recruiting tool for Herm Edwards because we absolutely love Herm Edwards.
Well, they were talking about it on the NFL pregame show, too.
Oh, my gosh, Eric.
Which I thought was really funny.
Did you watch the broadcast?
I didn't see it all. I was watching another game. I wish I wasn't watching. But, yeah, I did flip, flip on ASU after I stopped crying.
Went to college at
Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yeah.
We're a football school. We were until Saturday.
For those of you that have not watched the show through the years and don't know Eric's deal, Eric is the guy. You know this guy. They have to sit by themselves when their football team is playing. And when they lose, if you text them and give them any crap at all, it's not going to go pretty coming back to you.
But I was so numb, Brad. If you would have sent a smart-ass text, I probably just would have laughed along. Because when you lose to Kansas, a team that has two conference wins in the last, like, five seasons.
How's this happen?
just, I don't know, they just lost.
So you were sitting by yourself, mm-hmm. as usual.
Yeah.
Watching the game with
and
the dogs.
And then I flipped over to the ASU game as soon as it ended.
And when did it hit you that you're like, we are going to freaking lose the Kansas?
No, I mean, the text started coming in, and I was just, just to the point where, I mean, the season's lost, so.
Season? Well, I think, like, today, Gary Patterson's a good coach.
Very good coach.
So
very good coach.
So you're watching TCU lose to almighty Kansas.
I mean, TCU has
football,
TCU
not basketball.
TCU has won 42 games in the last four seasons. So for
they go
me,
to bowl games,
for me to like really like point the finger is, you know, they're not Ohio State. They're not going to be consistently great every year. But losing to Kansas is a black eye.
Okay, so the ASU broadcast that you missed, and for those of you that missed this, if you DVR'd it or checked out, this is how having Herm Edwards. And remember, I am the guy. I am the guy that wrote in Ray I Trust, and I like the hire of Herm Edwards last year. The Todd Graham supporters, they're still out there. They can't get over it. It's fine. He's not coming back. So ABC they go to the hotel to meet Herm. The play-by-play and color guy go to the hotel to meet Herm. And they do this deal where Herm is teaching tackling, like in the hotel lobby, like in a ballroom somewhere. They set up some cameras and just, and they, of course, they weave this into the broadcast. They weaved in more stuff about Herm. And it was Rod Gilmore, who's battling cancer, you know, he's fighting a fight, was talking about how they use N'Keal Harry and how great it is if you're a wide receiver and you're looking at Arizona State. It was like a three-hour infomercial, and it wasn't on the Pac-12 network. And they weren't firing the coach. They should have been firing Clay Helton on the air. Like, he's fired. Get him out of here. But they weren't. So that struck me. And then the Cardinal game yesterday. I'll get the break in a minute. And then the Cardinal game yesterday was, I will get to the break now because I'll get into the Cardinal game on the other side. We have a deal here where we call it hazard pay. That is where someone has to go cover something that's so just G-A-W-D awful. And Eric was that person yesterday. We'll get into that and much more on the other side. Jason Jewell in about 15 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back. Could you imagine being in Cleveland today? In the last 2 hours, Hugh Jackson gets fired. He's the sixth Browns head coach fired after the second game of the season against the Steelers. You play the Steelers, you get fired. They just fired Todd Haley, their offensive coordinator, 15 minutes ago. And you're Baker Mayfield, and it's Groundhog Day. Welcome to Cleveland. Everybody's out. Yeah, you're starting to make progress, but man alive. They fired Ty Lue with the Cavaliers yesterday. So in Cleveland, it's just, you suck, you're out, you're gone. That's the way it works.
They can fall back on the Indians, though. The Indians have
had true.
Sustained success.
But even Tito's been hearing
it. Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
So you're at the Cardinal game yesterday.
I am.
And you were. And
I was.
You were.
Thank you.
And it was, was it memorable? Josh Rosen to Christian Kirk, not memorable?
It was it had an exciting end to the game. But it was, as I told you this morning, 5-3 at halftime. And the two teams combined for 161 total yards and combined for 8 first half penalties.
2-run single.
And I believe they were a combined 2-for-12 on third down in the first half.
The stadium's like half empty now, right?
Now it's sellout.
Come on.
Not butts and seats.
I don't know.
Yeah, there were lots of empty seats.
49er home game?
No.
Wasn't one of those deals?
There were just lots of empty seats.
Because, you know, the Raiders are here.
That will be a Raider home
game. That's going to be a Raider home game.
Like, the Broncos fans, Brad, were all around the visitor side, which is common on the lower bowl.
Yeah.
But they were also probably half-filling the Cardinals side, which is not good. And by the end of that Thursday night game, it was just a sea of orange in the lower bowl.
Yeah, right. Because everybody moved down.
Not good. But yeah, I mean, it's good for the Cardinals. I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Okay, so are you seeing progress?
I don't know if I'm seeing progress. They played one of the worst teams in the NFL, but they won. I mean, it is what it is.
So I DVR'd the game.
Okay.
And I came back and sat in the office last night. And again, this morning, I watched it through twice. And you have a new coordinator, and he's trying to make some change.
Which he did. David Johnson got 20 touches.
Before he got concussed, or if he was concussed.
He was not concussed. He returned. He went into protocol.
He went to protocol.
He returned.
He came in.
And it's just nice to see him actually get the ball. I mean, he had 42 yards receiving. Yeah, it is. It is. 100 yards receiving game for a Cardinal.
No, and so, and Rosen made some throws, I thought, in the second half. Yeah, he was dreadful in the first half. But I think that's one of those deals where you have an engine, you put bad gas in the engine's not going to fire on all cylinders. You put some good gas in there, it's going to take a little bit of time to get the bad gas out. Yep. Does that sound about right?
Yep.
So it took a half, and then, yeah, it's 49ers. Yeah, we can't get... I really have gotten to know Dick Stockton and Mark Schlereth very well this season.
Did they do the game again
yesterday? They did the game yesterday.
They should just rent condos out here.
Well, I hear Dick lives in Prescott now.
Oh, cool. Extended stays.
And Mark is up in Denver. That's an easy hour and 20-minute flight.
Easy hour on a plane.
Do you think those guys are just like, come on, man, not enough?
They know the team. I mean, they should know the personnel. Right. But I think the one thing, Brad, that was so jaw-dropping that I realized yesterday when I was doing the recap is that yesterday was the first time all season the Cardinals had 300 total yards. I mean, just think about that.
And it was awful in the first half, and they had 300 yards.
It was. In the pass-happy NFL that is geared towards offenses having success against defenses, it took the Cardinals 8 games to get 300 total yards of offense in a game. I mean, just think about that. And 300 total yards is not that much.
But everything is geared, like yesterday is bad for the Cardinals when it comes to draft position.
It is.
But if I'm watching Sam Bradford and they're winning yesterday, then I'm really not happy, okay? Because you're not addressing the quarterback situation for long term. And I was that guy over the last 2 years that said, you got to replace Carson Palmer at some point. Please make it happen. Don't try to get in with eight. Don't go 8-8. You have to go through... In the NFL, you have to go through the bottoming out. If it doesn't work out, like in Tampa Bay today, they don't know what to do because Jameis Winston is not great. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's as old as, I don't know, Eric and I combined, he's out there hucking away balls and making things happen. They don't know what to do in Tampa. They know what to do in Arizona. Okay. It's the same deal as Jared Goff. Like, I'm watching Josh Rosen, and my fear for him when they drafted him is the whole concussion stuff. So far, he's taken some hits. He took some hits yesterday, but I'm seeing him make good decisions. I'm seeing him make good throws. If they had stuck with Sam Bradford and if they had stuck with Mike McCoy, we're just sitting here saying, guys, you're not making the playoffs. Give it up. So I'm fine with where they are this season and their draft. Like if I'm looking at this roster right now and where they are after yesterday's win, it's a great shot. I'm going to have probably a top 10 pick. I'm coming into the second half of the season after the bye. And that top 10 pick, for me, I've got to protect my most valued asset, which is Josh Rosen. So to me, I would be looking at, again, the offensive line. Once again, DJ Humphreys, he's in a contract situation that could change at the end of this year in terms of where he is. The rest of the offensive line, you don't have a whole lot there. I guess you could look at Mason Cole's getting all the reps at center, but you've got to protect Josh Rosen. You just gave David Johnson a boatload of money. You could make the argument that N'Keal Harry could be the guy the Cardinals should look at. You could make that argument. You just spent a pick on Christian Kirk. I think N'Keal's going to play in the slot at the next level. They put N'Keal in the slot. We've got some video of N'Keal that we're going to use later in the show. Our buddy Chris Cartman over at Sun Devil Source gave it to us. The maturation of N'Keal Harry with what's going on with the Arizona Cardinals and their young quarterback, you could make the argument, go stock up on that side of the football because they need the help. You certainly can make that. And especially if Byron Leftwich proves he's the guy. Anybody who's going to sit here today and say they've got all their problems solved on that side of the ball, you're just getting a paycheck from the team. They want you to say that. It's not happening. It's not happening. I thought watching yesterday and seeing the defense play better, I actually had a Hassan Reddick sighting yesterday. Was that just me, or did you see him a little bit too yesterday?
No, he got called out. He got praised in the postgame by Wilkes because he played well. Dale Buchanan played well.
So are these two players starting to figure it out for this situation? Again, did it take them half the season? And are they in a better spot on that side ball?
I don't know. It's the 49ers.
That's right.
If they did it against the Rams, it'd be like, yeah, well, they have turned the corner. But the Niners are so bad that, you know, there's a reason both those teams had only had one win coming into the game yesterday.
But let me put it to you this way, Eric. They play Pat Mahomes their next game on November 11th.
They do.
They're off till November 11th. They play at Kansas City.
And they have to play Aaron Rodgers down the line, too, in Green Bay.
But let's just look at when you play Pat Mahomes on the road, nobody's going to give them a shot in hell to go there and win. They're just not. And they're going to be coming off a bye week. You would think that we would have a better feel about this team top to bottom, the break, the extra time, healed up, all that stuff. To me, the Kansas City game's a measuring stick. The Raiders come here the following
Definitely.
Week. They stink. Yeah. The Raiders are awful.
I mean, there are wins, possible wins. Like, the Raider game is winnable. They host the Lions. I don't think they're going to win, but that's definitely a winnable game.
Right. They still have Seattle. They still have the Rams.
They're not going to win those.
Yeah, they're
games.
Not going to win those. But my point is they've done what they've needed to do, which is to give the fans hope. Did you see Josh Rosen yesterday? Did you see Christian Kirk yesterday? That wasn't there because it was the same old stuff. Now, they've missed John Brown. Look at what John Brown's doing in Baltimore. You know, they missed on John Brown. Michael said he's going to get it figured out. He's going to get better. He's not. And they got rid of him. And now he's in Baltimore and he's killing it. I don't like to see former Cardinals do well outside of Arizona. I don't, because it means you guys missed. Right. Jason Jewell is next. He'll Skype in. We'll talk about the high school playoffs. We'll talk some recruiting too. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now for the recruiting roundup. As always, Jason Jewell, I lovingly refer to him as the godfather of high school football in the great state of Arizona. He joins us via Skype. All right, so the playoffs start this weekend, and I'm curious if there's any team that you're looking at 6A or 5A or 4A saying, here's a team that nobody's talking about, or are we going to see the usual suspects when it comes to champ games?
I mean, I do think that Chandler and Pinnacle are the two teams to beat, you know, in that league, but I thought about this a couple weeks ago, and I said going in that if I'm in the first round or first couple of rounds, a team I'm scared to play, you know, nervous about playing, is Mountain Point High School. You know, they're an 8 seed. They're 6-4 on the year. They lost early to Pinnacle, but three of their other losses are, you know, Queen Creek and Desert Vista and then to Bingham from Utah out of state. And those three losses are by 10 points total. They beat Highland. They gave Highland their only loss on the year. I think they're tremendously long on defense, and they have a capable quarterback and a good running back. And Mountain Point Pride are a team I think is dangerous in 6A.
Shoot over to 5A. Is there a matchup or a team you're looking at 5A saying this is the game to watch, or here is the team better look out for?
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued by that Campo Verde and Sunrise Mountain game. You know, you called that game last week and saw Campo Verde DN Trevor Cowher, also an excellent offensive tackle. I've been tweeting about him for the last couple weeks, a guy that I really like. He's about 6'4", 245 pounds, and just a tremendous player that goes really hard on both sides of the ball, which is not something that you typically see anymore. You know, a lot of teams try to, to platoon, and kids don't go both ways, and Cowher does. And he goes hard on both sides of the ball.
4A, Saguaro loses a couple of players to suspension. Pinnacle loses Spencer Rattler. These are big-name players that are not going to be out on the field. Let's just focus on Saguaro for a minute. Does this set them back and open up 4A for anybody?
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, Saguaro's absolutely loaded. They're, I think it was 19 kids with Division I offers, so they lose a handful of others, but they're going to have guys replaced and ready to roll. We saw them, you know, they beat a Mesquite team that had beaten some quality opponents this season. They took it to him pretty good and shut him out in week 10.
Okay, so back on Spencer Rattler, J.D. Johnson now has the chance to shine, a junior quarterback. I know you've talked about him some on the roundup, but now that he gets some postseason experience, colleges are going to see him in harm's way. What do you make out of J.D. and his recruitment right now? Where do you think it's going, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, he's a kid that already has Power 5 offers, South Carolina, University of Arizona, a handful of other schools, and that was on very, very limited film. You know, in the four starts he has this year, he threw for just over 1,100 yards, 11 touchdowns, and three interceptions. But now it's his time to shine and see if he can do it and lead, you know, Pinnacle through the playoffs and then into his senior season.
You mentioned Greenway earlier. Here's a team that has not really gotten a whole lot of attention. They've come into this postseason as one of those dark horses. Focus in on Greenway a little bit.
Yeah, so actually this is the game I'm going to be at, Greenway versus Prescott at Greenway High School. And you look at the Demons, only have one loss this season. It is to Bradshaw Mountain. Prescott is led by their quarterback, Austin Clark, kid that he's a runner. He's rushed for over 1,700 yards this year and 23 touchdowns, only thrown for 700, while Greenway is a total opposite. Their quarterback, Tyler Duncan, likes to sling the ball around, thrown for 2,100 yards, 23 touchdowns there, rushed for 760 and has 11 more scores. I think this is a very intriguing game. You look at Prescott, they went through a little bit of drama and had have an interim head coach right now in Cody Collette, but he's been that head coach there at Prescott before and done a great job. And, you know, they only have a handful of losses, you know, three losses this year to Desert Edge, Canyon Del Oro, and Mingus, and they beat Bradshaw Mountain, who gave Greenway their only loss on the year.
Before I get you out of here, so there's fans that are watching us across the state, and they may not have been out to a high school game. This is the start of the playoffs. If there is a team or a player, Jason, I know it's pretty broad-based, but if there's a team or a player that you would advise people, you might want to go out and check this kid out somewhere around the state, who would it be? I would take a flyer on Sal Point Catholic, because there's some players there that on the running back side with Bijan Robinson, Arizona State is taking a good, long, hard look at him and others on that team. What about you?
Well, you stole the one that was going to come right out of my mouth in Bijan Robinson, the 2020 Sal Point running back. I mean, he's a... My evaluation was probably the simplest evaluation that I've ever done on a prospect when I'm doing them. And it was, this kid is special. He has offers from all over the country. And, you know, down in Tucson, a lot of the Phoenix Metro schools or, you know, players and fans don't get to see him play. And last year I saw him for the first time live against Sunrise Mountain in the semifinals and was just, wow, the kid's a phenomenal, phenomenal player. Probably a 4-star, 5-star level prospect by the National Recruiting Services, and a guy that has offers from all over the country.
One last question, that is Arizona and Arizona State. Visits are starting to come to an end. Times that the coaches can go out. The first signing date comes up on December 19th. It's right around the corner. How are those two schools doing in-state from your view?
They're both doing fine. I mean, I wouldn't say they're doing fantastic. You know, some of the bigger name prospects have committed to other schools. It looks like the University of Arizona really is kind of focusing on the future classes, 2020 and 2021. Arizona State is still, going after a handful of kids in this 2019 class. It's going to depend on really how these two teams finish coming down the stretch. We saw U of A, actually both of those schools, U of A and ASU, with big wins over Oregon and USC, respectively. Over the past weekend. So I think it's going to be how they finish here down the stretch to see if they can land some of these big prospects at the end.
Good stuff as always, Jason. Appreciate the visit. See you on a sideline. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad.
There is the Godfather, Jason Jewell. It is always good to have Jason as part of the team here through the years on Sports360AZ.com. Back after this timeout. So I'll focus on the college football in our state for a minute or two. Arizona State's game against UCLA, it was announced this morning, is going to kick off at noon. ASU plays Utah next week. That kickoff will be at 1. The ASU-U of A game in Tucson will be at noon. I am very much in favor of all this. It's about time. Like, these 7:45 start times that really aren't to like 7:55. It's going to be beautiful this weekend. Utah comes into the valley. Utah is in first place. The Pac-12 South is such a mess that if ASU wins the game, they would be a half game back of Utah in the Pac-12 South for the lead. And ASU right now is in last place. You can't script this stuff. You can't make it up. And the fact that ASU does have Utah, UCLA, and U of A down the stretch, a game against Oregon, but in the South, while Utah controls its own destiny, ASU does need some help. There's still a shot. And U of A is sitting there, too, after what happened where they completely destroyed Oregon. U of A's in this. I said this back in September. This is not one of these I told you so's because it still could fall apart. But I do believe the Territorial Cup game this year is going to have some significance. And for those of you that say, well, it's the rivalry and it's going to be all about the rivalry. No, I don't care. Okay, for this game to matter, both teams have to win. Nobody likes to see a rivalry of two teams that blow. That's not a rivalry. I mean, I guess for you that have been here all your lives, it all comes down to whether ASU or U of A wins. So you have bragging rights. Bragging rights for what? You get to go to El Paso? Who cares? So you would want both these teams to win out. I would never root for ASU. I'd never root for the U of A. Are you kidding me? Are you still stuck in 1830? Come on. We want this state to matter. It's kind of like the people that went on social media last night and said, oh, today's a great day. The Dodgers lost in the World Series. I don't know. They got there. You didn't. Just get over it. Don't you want what's best for the state? So back on ASU, it's really interesting what's going on here. N'Keal Harry, here's some of N'Keal the other day at USC. Our friends over at Sun Devil Source, Chris Cartman, said, here's some video for you guys. This punt return? I mean, we've seen him do things before. I've seen him do this in high school. Heck, I saw him bring down a backboard in basketball in high school. I shouldn't be surprised to see N'Keal Harry just absolutely kill it, which is what he did. And the NFL people on that are there watching him on display in Los Angeles. You have the Cardinals over here in a space where they're aging number 11 and got a new face, number one, but the number 11 is still very productive. I could make the argument pretty simply that Christian Kirk, N'Keal Harry, Larry Fitzgerald will get a lot of people excited with Josh Rosen and David Johnson. I could make that pretty easily. And it wasn't just the punt return. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. This is the best catch I have ever seen. And then someone else will do it. This was in the game. Manny lofts it up, and watch N'Keal, one-handed. Like, one-handed. And the penalty is, yeah, it's a catch right in front of the USC bench. One-handed, in the air, brings it down. That's as good a play as you're going to see. And here it is one more time, a little bit of slow-mo on it. This one-handed. Okay, that's worth the price of admission. That's going to be one of those that when it is NFL draft night and they call up his name and they roll in the tape, they've got the punt return, they got the one-handed catch. He did it at USC. He didn't do it against, I don't know, Duke on the road or give me a, you know, New Mexico State or one of those. He didn't do it against somebody that's not anybody. Did it against USC. And USC fans can say we're nobody. But it was really fun to watch the game from start to finish. And obviously the way N'Keal Harry played. Then you throw in Eno Benjamin on top of it. ASU has this running attack now to a point where some would say it's boring. If you're going to run the football 40 times in a game, it's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. There's no other way to put it. You don't want to be that team that just throw. And Eno was gashing USC. Like, they were in second and short a lot, and he was able to break some tackles and get away. They need more at the running back position. I mentioned to Jason in the last segment, Bijan Robinson. Eric, you've seen Bijan Robinson. Is he kind of like Eno?
He's faster, but he's built the same. Yeah. He runs as smooth as any high school running back I've ever seen, and I've seen some really good ones.
So Kalen Ballage.
The scary thing is,
Kalen
Ballage
was smooth. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a lot like Kalen. Not quite as big, but he just glides, and he's got great hips and quick feet, and he is a home run hitter. Every time he touches a ball, he could take to the house.
Do you think U of A ASU is going to matter more than just the teacup? I think it is. Myself.
Yeah, I guess it has to. I mean, I was looking at the Pac-12 South standings this morning. ASU is in last place, but they only lose the tiebreaker to
Colorado.
They haven't played all the teams above them. And even at 4-2, I mean, how good is Utah? We don't really know. They're good, but it's not like ASU or U of A couldn't leapfrog a bunch of schools and get towards the top coming into the end of November.
When U of A played at Utah, Khalil was hurt.
Yeah, that was a guaranteed loss. Yeah. Friday night game in Salt Lake City. I mean, it's just some games you look at and it would take not a miracle, but U of A was outclassed in that game.
And so Colorado craps the bet against Oregon State. Their schedule the rest of the way for Colorado is not easy.
No.
And so they've got a game against Washington State still, and that U of A game against Colorado is this Friday night. It's a Friday night game in Tucson this week. for ASU to have all these day games, I think is great because there's going to be people that will want to go out and watch it. It's not supposed to be oppressively hot. It just feels like November for the college scene. I don't know if the Cardinals are going to get things in a way where the average fan is going to want to go. I could make the argument that going to a Cardinals game to watch Josh Rosen and Christian Kirk, for me, is interesting. I could not make that argument when it was Sam Bradford that was here. That doesn't do anything.
Well, because that's the blueprint. I mean, that's the future of the franchise, those two players. And it's nice that even as rookies, they're showing glimpses. I mean, there's going to be bumps, but you and I talked way back in the preseason. I mean, Josh Rosen's going to be a good quarterback. I mean, I saw him in the second game against the Chargers where when he was playing with a bunch of guys that aren't even on the roster and he was somehow moving the ball down the field. You can just tell. He's just got that it factor. I know that's such an overused cliche, but when you're not scared of the moment, and yesterday he clearly was not scared of the moment.
Okay, so let me go back on that, though. We saw what has already happened in Cleveland today. If you're just joining us, Cleveland not only fired their head coach, Hugh Jackson, but they also fired Todd Haley, their offensive coordinator. So Baker Mayfield's having a bad day, probably. Means he's got a whole new group that's coming in. Lincoln Riley is an interesting name to me for the Cleveland head coaching job because obviously he coached Baker at Oklahoma. This would impact Spencer Rattler. There's a lot of things that could impact Spencer Rattler, but this could be one of them too if, in fact, Lincoln Riley were to leave. You've mentioned Matt Campbell at Iowa State too. That could be a name for the Browns job. If you're a Jets fan, Sam Darnold is sitting there hanging on by a thread with Todd Bowles. If he gets blown out, if in Buffalo, where tonight they're taking on New England and Josh Allen is getting some time, but they've been just dreadful, or they've figured it out. I'm going through the young quarterbacks that are in the league, and that takes us to Josh Rosen. If Steve Wilks doesn't get it figured out, it's the Cardinals spent a first-round pick on a quarterback, the future of the franchise, and they hired a defensive-minded coach. The Cardinals could very easily say after this season, you know, we didn't work out with Coach Wilks. We have a future base here with some great players on offense. We need to go out and find an offensive-minded coach. Offensive-minded coaches typically get fans more excited, a.k.a. Bruce Arians and what he was able to do. I bring this up because if this thing goes in a direction of 2 wins, 3 wins, 4 wins at tops, I think Michael Bidwell has every opportunity to stand in front of everybody and say, this isn't good enough, and we should go out and get an offensive-minded coach. They will never admit they screwed up, just so we're really clear on that. They will never, ever say it was our fault. That's not them. But they could certainly go down that path and bring in an offensive-minded coach. These young quarterbacks, man, they just get thrown out there and chewed up, spit out. Like Josh is on his fifth OC. Like, that's just crazy to me. How do you expect anything to happen? Chairman of the board today is Jared Nielsen. He is the Iron Man. He even does late Friday night stuff on the site, which is cool. And of course, Eric Sorensen, the senior executive vice president of Everything or Nothing, depending on the day. Have yourself a great Monday.